Speaking of building our kingdom here, that song was a song we used heavily 2 years ago as it connected to our word of the year that year. Jesus said that he would build his church on a specific rock, and then we were in the midst of building projects and building renovations right and left, that we use that for our word of the year that we remember as a part of this time, celebrating what has been built since then. I just want to read for you briefly that passage. It's found in Matthew 16, verse number 18, and it's Jesus speaking to his followers when he says this, "On this rock," and the rock that he's referring to is the testimony that Peter just proclaimed, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so it's on that testimony of who Jesus is and what he came to do that Jesus had a building project to do. "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Jesus was concerned about building his church. And as I've said probably 100 times before this, and I'll say it 100 times more, he was not concerned with bricks and mortar. When Jesus says, "I will build my church," he's not talking about the blueprints for a brick and mortar building plan. The early church did not have bricks and mortar. They met in house churches, individual residences, to grow and deepen in their faith. And even 2,000 years later, as we have bricks and mortar that makes up the church, we still realize the truth that church is never just about bricks and mortar. Like case in point, we've said it before this way, but I think it just illustrates well. How many of you, by show of hands, picked this church as your church because you just love the carpet of this place? No hands going up, right? Any of you drive down Northwest Road and just see the sun glistening off the red bricks and say, "That's the church I want to go to. I'm picking that for my church"? No. None of us pick church because of the bricks and mortar of the building. But we do pick a church that we sense God is at work in, where God is encountered, where the truth of God is proclaimed, where people of God reach out by way of invitation or act of service that in some way just intrigues us and wants us to know more about that group that meets in that brick and mortar building. That is some of the reason why many of you have come and connected to this church throughout your duration here. Church is never just bricks and mortar, but it's about through the bricks and mortar, where is God at work in real people, in real life, with real faith to live into. And that's what Jesus has always been about building, and that's what we celebrate together, even as we remember the bricks and mortar 364 days ago that we unveiled and have lived into. And so what we want to do today for our time together is to just know some of the stories that have taken part in those 364 days, not about the bricks and mortar, but about the people impacted through that building 364 days ago. And so Julie Jump is going to share about the youth aspect of the Youth and Family Life Center. Mel Miller is going to share about the family aspect, the church family, that is, that takes place in that place. And then Mandy Beauvais is going to share about the blood family aspect and some things that have been encountered as a result of that. And so first, I want to invite Julie to come forward and share with us just briefly about
All right. So yes, I talk a little bit longer because I have a lot of different topics, but it's still not that long that I will keep you. But I just want to remind you, I guess just from a starting point at this first picture, to look at it. This is where Wiggly Worship all began. You won't even know what this room is. It's the bright green, orange, and blue room, okay? This is where we all started coming for Wiggly Worship. And I looked at this picture. It was posted like in 2015, and I wanted to cry because it just reminded me of how good and faithful God is, okay? You as a church were praying for youth, and God brought the youth here. And it's because of our church that we began to grow. So you can see some kids there. Even Jeremiah, he looks really tiny too. So that was a while ago. Now, though, if you fast forward to now, we would not be able to meet in this room. So we started and we began to move into the fellowship hall, and then we start breaking up into our stations. I'm going to be showing you why, like the setup of how we do things and why we move just into different areas of the whole entire building, okay? So it's neat how God has been moving through this. But I want to remind you, this is the main point of this Life Center, or my discussion, is that we use the Life Center to bring kids closer to God. Okay, so that is what the whole thing is. I don't care if you get anything from what I'm saying right now, but that's the main point. And in Wiggly Worship, our goal is for kids to know, love, and follow Jesus through the good times and the bad. That is our whole goal. So that's what we're going through. Oh, and yeah, I see Claire Turner up there. Yep, she's in that picture right there, that little girl and Audrey. So, okay, that's a long time ago. She's a junior now. So it's neat to see how we're growing. So I'm just going to walk you through some of these pictures. So first in Wiggly Worship, we meet in the fellowship hall. They have worship. They sing two songs, and then we split up. Before, we didn't have room. We were using all these different rooms. And before even COVID, like we had around sometimes 70 kids during one service. So we could not, it's not even that we wanted the Life Center, we needed it. So like some of the Wild Worship boys were meeting in the hallway even. So we needed this space. Once the kids are done singing, we break up into our small group time, and this is called Wild Worship. It's the fifth and sixth graders. They go into classroom one, and they have their own age-appropriate lesson. They watch this video. Then they break up into their small groups of boys and girls, and again, they are diving into the Bible and growing deeper in their faith in this Life Center. Then there's the girls as well. Andrea Nystrom's teaching that class, and she's cut off. But you can see these fifth and sixth graders, they come to learn and grow closer to Christ in these buildings. So that is great that we have the space just for fifth and sixth grade to use. Then right next to it in classroom two, this is where the kids, kindergarten through fourth grade, they break up into three groups, okay, by age group. They go to three different stations, and this station is the Bible station, so they go through the, we go through the Bible. That's how we do our curriculum. We go through each Bible story. In this Bible story, they will watch a video, and then they will have the teacher teach them in a hands-on way that lesson. Once they move from there, remember it's called Wiggly Worship, they move a lot, so then they go into the small group time, and that's at the black tables. So once they get there, they break up between boys and girls, and that's where they have discussion time. They look up their Bible verse. They have a snack. Kids need snacks, right? And they also have a prayer time. And that is probably one of my favorite parts of Wiggly Worship is small group time, because this is where the kids are actually having these deep conversations. I mean, if you listen to the prayer requests that these kids have, it makes you want to cry. Okay, so they are really learning during small group time. Maybe your heart is even being stirred as I talk about this. Like, man, I want to be a part of this. I want to, so you just come and talk to me, because you're missing out. If not, it's a great time, and these kids truly are connecting to God in this Life Center. So here's the girls. I'm just trying to show you. They split up between boys and girls as they have that discussion time. Then they go to the fellowship hall and they have an activity time. So that's either when they're making a craft or doing a game, like in this one, they're doing a game. So it's great that we have this space where the kids can move throughout the whole building and it's being used. Also, then and now, this was the first picture you saw, one that tan room. Now it's just used simply for we worshipers, okay? So they start their Bible time in that room, and then they go across the hall to a craft room and the fellowship hall. So they're using their own spaces as well. Let's see. Yeah, so now I'm just going to show you some pictures about youth group. Youth group, this was one of our first ones that we met. We had no idea how many kids were coming. So we are like, we're going to meet at the couches to start, and then more kids were coming. So it was great. So we put out more chairs, and then more kids were coming. We had to put out more chairs. So it was really exciting that we have this space, because if you know where the old youth room was, right, that's where the game room is now, there's not enough space. So again, we needed this space for kids to connect to God. In youth group, our goal is for the kids to connect with one another, explore God, and to have fun. So That is where we open up. But next, they also play a game in the Life Center. That's usually how we start. So we split up. Half are in the Life Center, a typical youth group, and the other half are in the, this is the whole group, is in the fellowship hall doing a game. So we always start with a game, and then we move into the Life Center tables to eat. And you can tell all the tables are being used. People are at the slushy bar and at the couches and chairs. We're just wherever we can be. Will Cummings does a lot of our food, so we are super, super thankful for him. And this, again, is just showing more kids. We use those tables to eat. Then this is my favorite time of youth group, and that is the small group time. I get to be with the older girls in my group, and that's when we are diving into great deep discussions, and we are diving into our Bibles as well and having that time together. You can see behind me there are 8th through 12th grade boys with Steve Pausch, who is awesome, okay? And he is teaching those boys. It even came to the point that it was kind of like, we are disrupting one another, so we had to change rooms and spots where we're starting to meet now. Right here now in classroom one, Amy Baptista, who is awesome, she is teaching the 6th grade girls just in her own room. And then right next to her in the 7th grade girls, with the 7th grade girls, is Kathy Pausch, who is awesome. Okay, so they have their own space, and you'll notice their cool beanbags that they get to relax on as they're discussing and exploring their relationship with God. Then you go to the couches. That's where Justin is with the 6th and 7th grade boys. And Justin, he is okay. And they meet and they discuss, and we even have that open space of black tables that they could split up into small groups too with Will Cummings. So we have that space. I'm just trying to show you we're using all these spaces when we meet for youth group. But then that moves us older kids into the fellowship hall. So this is our most recent one. The girls are in a corner, and then those boys, older boys, are in their own little corner. I just want you to note what they're sitting on. Some of those boys are sitting on a little preschool chairs, right? This just leads me to my next thing. We are out of bean bags, okay? So we know we use the couches, but the other areas we use bean bags. We are out of them for them, and they'll survive. It'll be okay. But do you know these kids absolutely love bean bags? Like, they love them, and they even would, like, steal from them. Brock, I remember, he would try to steal when we were together. There weren't enough for girls and boys when we met together, and he would go and try to get that bean bag. So I'm just putting my little blurb in. We need probably 15 more bean bags, and when we use the bean bags, this is when we really are growing in our relationship with God. So if you want to invest in these kids, that is one simple way. They are $25. If you want to put one in the offering plate and say beanbag, that would be great. We will go and purchase them. We know the ones we want. But that is just, I know, a need that we do need. And I know Justin already mentioned the Bibles, right? So I know that's another thing that we use. I'm showing you this picture. This was our Friendsgiving event that we had. And the reason I'm showing you this is that the kids came, and we even had to like add an extra row so everyone could have their own seat, and more people came in later. But I'm showing you this. It's great that we have this fellowship hall, so then we can use the fellowship hall for eating, but then the Life Center we could use for all of our games, right? So it was, if we didn't have that, we wouldn't have been able to do the event. And speaking of events, we have another youth group event actually next Sunday for a boys versus girls night event that we're having. So boys, girls come. I'm hoping more girls, because if the girls bring more girls, then they get the first point. Just for bringing people. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So it's good, and this space makes it so we can have events like that. Next, I'm just showing you about summer small groups that we had. This was a junior high group or middle school group from last summer that we had to meet. And it's great we had the Life Center again, because we wouldn't have been able to meet because child care's in session. So without that building, we would not have been able to have small groups. So it's great. Also, other small groups, these are the elementary age. They were in classroom one. Kindergarten through second graders, they were in classroom two. Again, I'm just showing you we are using this space. There's some kids at the slushy bar area. There's some boys even at the black table area, and they move through these different stations. The kids were in the game room, so we're using all the space up, and we're even outside. We just use all the space that we can get, so we are very thankful for the space that we do have. Lastly, I'm just going to tell you about Vacation Bible School, and we are thankful that we have the Life Center because of that, because we have lots of kids that come to Vacation Bible School through that week, and it gets kind of very crowded, and we can now use the Life Center for two craft rooms that we can split up into. So all of that being said, we've used the Life Center through all of that. I just talked to you about the youth area of that. But my one request and how I finish is just asking you to pray. We all started off praying for the youth of our church to grow, and it has happened. But what we really want now is to see, hey, God, where are you going now? You started here, and you're growing the youth. But we don't just care about numbers. What we really care about is their depth of their relationship with Christ, right? Just coming to youth group isn't going to make you a Christian, right? We want you to pray for these kids' hearts to really experience that close relationship with Christ and where he is taking the church right now onward. So thank you. And whoever's next, come.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you. Julie was sharing about the youth aspect of the Youth and Family Life Center. Mel Miller is going to share about family life as it relates to church family life together.
Yes, Justin asked me to talk about small groups and how they use the Life Center, but I want to back up a little bit. Probably about 3 years ago, we put together the facilities thing because we were feeling the need that maybe we needed to do some things to expand the church or make some improvements. And we went through that planning process, and some of you remember we did the surveys and that, and then we proposed some different layouts and whatever, and we ended up getting it kind of done. And a lot of the focus was on the youth, and Julie did just a great job of showing how the youth in the church are able to use it in so many different ways. But during the planning process, we also heard people say, hey, you know, it isn't all just youth in this church. There are some people that aren't youth that maybe they'd like to be able to use the thing too. So that leads me to the small groups. We currently have 6 small groups in the church. 5 of them use the Life Center when they meet at different times. If I'm not mistaken, over half the adults in this church belong to a small group. And I think that's very important to the overall growth of the church, not just the numbers, but the spirit of the church. So that it has worked well for us. Got a few pictures of some of the small groups. This is the one that I co-lead with Mike Beck. Some of them meet, as ours does, using the high tables. Some of them use the couches. I don't think any of them use the bean bags, but I could be mistaken. You never know. They kind of look fun. So the small groups has worked well, and I'll talk a little bit about ours. One of the things, as you remember, Justin is kind of featured here where you want to get into multi-generational. We have that going on somewhat in the small groups. It is in ours. In our small group, one of the things we do is at the end of our discussion, we go around and ask each individual person if they have any prayer concerns, and we try to keep those prayer concerns to that person's immediate life, not necessarily about their aunt that lives in Oklahoma's cousin up in Montana or something. We try to keep it to our small group. We want our to connect with each other. The next week, at the beginning, we go around and ask everybody, we prayed for a certain situation. Any update you want to give us how that's going? So it's part of us connecting with each other, not just that night or whatever, but throughout the week. So it's all worked good. Some of the small groups do some fun things, icebreakers. We do it from time to time. I'm starting to think that in our small group, maybe we'll try that rock, paper, scissors game or something, have a little tournament, just to whatever. And just maybe we might try beanbag jousting. I don't know. We'll see. So anyway, the small groups have enjoyed that. So thank you for everybody that helped support it and participate in it.
Thank you, Mel. Thank you. Youth Family Life Center. Julie covered the youth. Mel covered church family as it relates to small group ministry. I'll piggyback some of what Mel said. We also have a small group. Mel mentioned the regular small groups. We also have a small group that meets as a part of the year-long Bible study, just intermittently on second Saturdays for this duration. And last time we offered it, we met in the Wesley Room, that classroom space in the back, and we had 20-plus people that we had two different rows of three tables each that really covered up the whole Wesley Room. This year we've got 40 currently in that, and we would not have the space if it wasn't for the Life Center to have both classrooms fully open, screens so that you can follow along with the teaching aspects, and going three rows deep there, in some cases four rows for certain aspects. So we just piggyback off that family life with the church family in so many ways of the faith formation of this church that we're grateful for that building. Now we want to cover an aspect of family life that we had dreamed as a facilities committee too, that relates to having birthday parties there, graduation parties, baby showers. There's blood family aspects that go on with youth and family life center too, and Mandy Beauvais is going to share that part. She did send pictures in advance. The surprise is gone for this service there, but there is one picture / video that she didn't know about prior to this. She does know now after presenting, but it goes with Mel. Mel's group, if you really want devout, good, small group devoutness, they pray together in this way. What goes on in the Wednesday evening small group is this. That's Mandy Beauvais.
Okay, good morning. I did not know that was going to be up there. That was a complete surprise. And normally our small group does pray for each other, and we are making some personal connections too, although I'm just not sure how personal they are, and I will tell you about that more in a minute. I have had a couple special celebrations, one special celebration and possibly one that's coming up in the Life Center that Justin did ask me to speak with you about. And to start it off with, I have this super sweet little picture of my husband and myself on our wedding day. And this was November 10th, 2001. And I share this with you. And I am not speaking behind Jarvis's back. He was here for the first service, so he did hear all of this. And that in our years of being married, he's not really that great of a gift giver in the sense of he gets all excited about it because he doesn't shop for gifts way in advance. They're pretty last minute. And then he kind of gives these hints, and so then I pretty much know kind of what it is, or I have a roundabout idea. But he really surprised me this year, and the Life Center had to do with that. This year, on November 10th, 2021, we celebrated our 20th wedding anniversary, and it was a very normal day. It was a Wednesday. I went to work. I ran around after work to actually pick up a gift for him. I got Grace from Glow. That sounded last minute, didn't it? But I was planning what it was, and I just had to have a minute to get out to the Wiley's honey farm, actually. So really about 10 minutes before we walked into small group, that's where this was taken, I went and changed out of my school professional clothes into this great favorite sweatshirt, which if I would have known what was going on, that would not have happened. But anyway, we're walking up into the Life Center, and all the kids who are, their parents are in our small group, they were all waiting for us, really with a lot of excitement,
which is not normal that they're outside waiting for us. And then as I'm looking, the tables had all these tablecloths on them. There were streamers hanging all over. And I looked at Jarvis and I said, "What is going on right now?" And he's so cute. It just this beaming, you know, kind of like pride, like, "Yeah, I did this," you know, but I didn't know what he did yet. And we walked in and there's my whole small group. My parents were there. My kids ended up coming after practice. And they were all saying, "Surprise." And here Jarvis arranged with Justin and then our small group who did all the behind scenes work for us to use the Life Center to renew our marriage vows. So that was, it was a very special night. We used the Life Center. We had a dance floor. We had a reception complete with jump confetti cupcakes. That was fun. All of our small group members made a little appetizer. So it was just a really special evening for us to remember. So the second celebration that I'm going to talk with you about hasn't happened yet, but we're pretty excited about it too. And in the next few months, my oldest son, Mason, will be graduating from high school. He's going to hit a great milestone at Bellevue High School. And many of you know my family, but you may not know that we live on a state route. And when we moved into our house 10 years ago, we have always imagined our graduation parties for our kids being at our house. And then as it's inching closer, we just keep thinking, "Oh my gosh, where are these people going to park on the state route? We can't have the highway patrol showing up. If they go in our front yard and it's raining, they're going to tear up our yard." And all these questions are going through our mind. And then actually just in a summer conversation with Justin and Julie, Justin's like, "Well, why don't you just have it at the Life Center?" And I was like, "Oh, okay." But then it kind of started to click, like, hey, maybe we could have it at the Life Center. And we've just been talking about it more and more. And it's kind of just making more and more sense to have it there in the sense of we wouldn't really need to worry about what the weather is. We wouldn't need to worry about any parking issues. The tables are already there. The chairs are already there. The room is already there. The kitchen is there. The bathrooms are there. It's beautiful. It's fresh. And one of my favorite things about it is on a personal note, as a mom, probably what I pray the very most for is for Jesus to be the center of my kids' lives and for that personal relationship. And as this party is being envisioned in my mind, I just love that cross hanging in the center of the room, the center of the party, and then the center, you know, be in their lives. So that's kind of a special thought in my mind right now with that. And so when Justin introduced the Life Center as a place to do life together, anniversaries and graduation parties are a special part of everybody's life. And I'm grateful for the Life Center, and it's provided a beautiful, God-centered place for my family celebrations just in 1 year. So thank you.
Let's hear it for all three. Let's see. Not all stories are needed to have. The mic is off.
I did forget to say a part of my story, though. Sorry, I know we just clapped. But it is important to know that during my marriage renewal vows and in the first service, Justin said my name wrong both times. And that's the part I was going to say to you earlier is I'm just not so sure that we're as close as I thought that we were in our small group. Zach, I don't know.
So I apologize, Mandy Beauvais. What would have really been bad is if I said my wife's name wrong, though. That would have never been lived down. So, yes. Yeah, meaningful moments. Meaningful moments in the Youth and Family Life Center from all aspects, from youth on up through meaningful life moments, graduation, wedding anniversaries, meaningful life moments amongst us as church family. Brothers and sisters in Christ genuinely trying to grow closer to Christ. That's why we built the brick and mortar. And that's what I think we've got a small sampling of in 364 days since and what we want to continue to grow into for as long as God gives us in this place and space here. And so let's pray towards that end, even as we get towards the closing of this end. Let's pray together, church family. Lord, we thank you for that building. We thank you for the bricks and mortar because we see beyond the bricks and mortar the ways that you've begun to be at work in lives in that place and space. And we just want to give you thanks. Lord, we give you thanks not only for the youth and the families of this church there and the families outside of the church that have invested in that, but we give you thanks because of the people here, Lord, who have sacrificed in the midst of uncertain times. We built that building in the middle of a pandemic when things were shutting down and when the future was very uncertain, and yet you still gave us that nudge to move forward and to see this work of God that's taking place. And Lord, we have, and we've begun to see that, and we give you thanks for all that. Thank you for the way that you've wrote that into our church history story. And Lord, we just pray for the future ways. We don't want to just be a people that serve you 364 days. We want to serve you leading into eternity and impact other lives for eternity. And so we pray for future kids that are growing in this church, Lord, that they would meet Jesus in that place and space, and that they would begin this eternal adventure with Jesus. We pray for those, Lord, who will be having funeral dinners in that place, that we share stories about a life legacy in Jesus over meals in that place and space. Lord, we're just praying for so much more that only you can do, that would be a work of God, growing the people of God closer to God as a result. So do that. Continue to do that through that bricks and mortar known as the Youth and Family Life Center, we pray. It's in Jesus' name we ask all this. And his people said,